But that's where we will be today. So the title of my lesson is A Model of Christian Courtesy. A Model of Christian Courtesy, which is going to come from the book of Philemon. It's a small book, one chapter. So the beginning part of this, we'll look at kind of the way the book is laid out and some of the characters that's in it. And then I'll get into my main points I want to make and what we can get from this lesson. It has been characterized, the book of Philemon has often been characterized as a model of Christian courtesy, been titled that, a manifestation of Christian love, a monument of Christian conversion. We can see, if you've studied it in any length, you can see where maybe some of those titles are or have come from, how it's been described. Paul wrote this letter, and it was one of the shortest of Paul's letters. But we're going to take a look at this. So before we read it, I want to look at a couple of things first. So we know Paul, obviously, is the author. We see that in verses 1. We see that in verses 9 and in 19, just in this letter. He lists himself as the author. There, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. So he's titled it immediately from there. If we look at verse 9, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. There he lists himself again. And then in verse 19, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. That's pretty plain and simple that he says he is writing it himself. I will repay, not to mention to you, that you owe me even your own self besides. So we see in these three verses that Paul is listed as the author. So I think we can all settle on that. The time and place, Paul is in prison. He shows himself as being in chains multiple times. Like also in Colossians, there in verse 4 and in or chapter 4 and verse 18, if you'll turn back there, we see here where Paul lists himself as being in chains. So Colossians chapter 4. And in verse 18, he reminds them again, this salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. And also in Philemon, he mentions it four times. I'm not going to read them, but in verse 1, in verse 10, in verse 13, and in verse 23, he lists that he is also in chains or in prison. So we see that Paul is a prisoner. Most likely what we found, or what I found in commentary, was he was in a Roman prison at this time. And he is joined by Timothy in both of these epistles. So looking in Philemon 1, it says, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother. So Timothy's with him. And again in Colossians chapter 1, Timothy is listed also as being with Paul. We see a couple others. In Philemon, verse 23, we see some more listed. We see Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. They join in this salutation. So there in verse 23, it says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greet you. And then in 24, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. So he's not alone. Colossians in chapter 4 also lists them. So if you want to look there, chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. He lists here, it says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. Verse 11, and Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. In verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in the prayers, that you may stand perfectly and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Verse 14 mentions Luke. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So we see that these characters are in both letters, which tells us that both letters were probably written about the same time, both of them written by Paul. So very likely both of them written around the same time. This would put it about 60, in between 61 and 63 AD, if they were both written while he was in prison in Rome. So we can keep that in mind as we go through here. Some of the main characters we see. Philemon, obviously, is a main character in the letter of Philemon. He's probably a member of the church at Colossae, with the letters being similar. More than likely was a member there. But this last letter here to Philemon was addressed just to him. We see that Philemon is a very hospitable, and we're going to look at that a little bit more later, but he is a hospitable Christian. It is possible that Philemon is one of Paul's converts. There in Philemon verse 19, we get a sense of maybe this idea. He says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. This could reflect maybe that Paul converted Philemon, that Philemon would owe his spiritual life to Paul and the work that he did. So that's maybe an option. A second character is listed in verse 2, this Apphia. So in verse 2 of Philemon, it says, to the beloved Apphia. And then it goes on to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So Apphia, the only thing I can find is it may possibly be Philemon's wife, but not positive on that. There's not much mentioned about this character. Archippus, thought by many to be maybe the son of Philemon, but again, I'm not sure. But a minister of the gospel, we see that in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 17. So looking back at Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, we see here where it says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. So, a minister of the gospel is this Archippus. Onesimus is another main character in Philemon. He'd been one of Philemon's slaves. We see that in Philemon verse 16. It says here, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. So Onesimus had been a slave of Philemon's. Evidently, he had ran away. Verse 15 mentions that he had ran away and somehow traveled to Colossae, to Rome. He had ended up there. He found Paul, and he was converted at that time. We see in verse 10 where Paul had converted him. He calls him one of his son. And Philemon 10, it says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. So we know Paul was not married, and so this is reflecting probably a spiritual son that he had converted and brought him to Christ. He had become very close with Paul. Philemon was, they had become very close. He's very useful for Paul and was going to be even more useful. There in Philemon verses 11 through 13, he talks about how he's going to be of great use, who once was unprofitable to you. He's talking to Philemon about Onesimus, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. He's very useful. Verse 12, I'm sending him back to you. Therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. So he's going to be very useful for Paul, and Paul's telling Philemon, he's useful to you also. And some of those same sentiments are in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. I'm not going to turn over and read those. Just showing how the letters are very similar. So what's the occasion for this letter to Philemon? Paul, first of all, didn't think it was right that he keeps Onesimus with him in Rome. He wanted to give him back to Philemon. He wanted to send him back and make things right. So this letter was to go ahead and inform Philemon that he was sending him back. Paul wanted Philemon to accept Onesimus back and to receive him, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ, as he is now, and wanted him to forgive him. We're going to see here in a little bit where Paul requests that any debt be put on him that Onesimus may owe Philemon for running away. So Paul really is appealing to Philemon to extend some brotherly love to a fellow Christian, not from an owner to a slave. So With this, a little bit of a background on the letter. I want to read the whole letter from beginning to end, and then I've got a couple of more points I want to make as to what we, some things we can get out of this and apply it to our everyday lives. So starting there, Philemon, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing, which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You, therefore, receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, but that put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Reading through this letter, just as many of Paul's letters were, you can feel and sense the love that Paul had for these people. He really genuinely cared for each and every one of them. The letters are sincere, just really, really touching and affectionate letters that you can tell his love was true. So now that we have this, the whole letter fresh in our minds, and after just reading it, there's a couple of objectives, I think, in studying this epistle that we should be, that we can get out of this. So we should be impressed with the loving hospitality of these early Christians. So thinking of the hospitality, we read in here where Philemon has opened his home as a church to meet. There in verses 1 and 2, to Philemon, our beloved friend, picking up halfway through, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Philemon has opened his home to be a church, which a lot of early churches met in homes. But we see here where this can sometimes, I don't want to say be an inconvenience, but this is a hospitality that Philemon had. He opened his home to these people. And we see other Christians, early Christians, doing the same thing. In Romans chapter 16 and in 1 Corinthians, we see Priscilla and Aquila, and I talked about that in last Sunday morning's sermon about role models. They too opened their home to be a church. And so it's such a great example to see. And I don't know if That was Paul's intention in this letter, to point out the hospitality that Philemon has, or if it was more on Onesimus' side, but we see that it was enough that it stood out. Paul mentioned it. And I think it's something for us to take note of. Also, we see Philemon's love for all the saints. There in verse 5, it says, "Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all of the saints." This is an early, again, these early Christians showed great love for the church. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4. Chapter 1 and verse 4, it starts off there. It says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints." Again, the church at Colossae was just as much on Paul's mind in the same manner as Philemon was. They had love for the saints, and it's such a wonderful thing to see. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 shows the same thing. We can turn back to 2 Thessalonians there in chapter 1. And there in verse 3, it says, "Here we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other." So the love abounding towards each other is the love for the saints. They cared for each other. They cared for these, their fellow man, their fellow Christians. And this letter to Philemon isn't any different. It's his great love he had for the saints, his hospitality, the way he opened his house and his heart to everyone. It's such a good example for us. And again, another role model that we can build off of from last week's sermon. Philemon verse 7 talks about how that he refreshed the hearts of the saints. "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." So the things that Philemon was doing was helping these fellow Christians. He was helping them stay strong and stay steadfast, just as I hope you guys feel the same thing when you come to services. Not necessarily today or when I'm here, but each and every Sunday when whoever's up here, I hope you feel refreshed when you leave here. That you can walk upon this earth and put Christ first and have the confidence to let that shine. So, refreshing the saints. Again, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see here in the house of Stephanas, the household of Stephanas. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And there, verses 15 through 18. It says, "I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men." So preaching the word and opening their hearts to these fellow Christians brought refreshment, edification, uplifting. They also received respect from their fellow Christians by doing so. Much so. And Paul really pulled close to these Christians when they did this kind of act. When they were able to edify and uplift, Paul drew them close to him. It made him joyful, just as it should us. These were all probably acts of kindness that Paul or Philemon had been doing, which solidified Christ in him. Now, something else we could be impressed with from looking at Philemon here is how Paul could depend on Philemon for a place to stay. He he tells him to prepare him a place there in verse 22. It says, "But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you." He didn't say, "Hey, can I stay with you? Can you give me a room?" I think Paul knew that Philemon was the type of Christian and was so hospitable that he could assume he always had a place to stay. And he just wanted to get word to him that he was on his way. So he says, "Prepare a place for me." This had to be a reputation that Philemon had, that he was willing and able to do it. He opened his home to be a church, and I'm sure he opened his home to others in need. Such a wonderful comfort that Paul would have as he traveled preaching the gospel, knowing that he could rely on Christians and brethren to give him a place to stay. He had the confidence that it would be there. He trusts, "Through your prayers, I shall be granted to you." Trust in Philemon's prayers on behalf of him that he would be released, that he would be able to join him and stay with him. And these are certainly examples worthy of imitation. Again, following along the lines of the role model that we talked about last week, Philemon is certainly one that we could follow and imitate in the field of hospitality and love for the brethren and his work for the Lord. So another objective that studying this epistle we can look at and get from here is to learn a little bit of tact in dealing with others. And I like the way this is, I like the way Paul addresses a situation here. So if we look at Philemon verses 8 and 9, he says, "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Paul could have commanded Philemon, "Receive Onesimus." But instead, he appealed. A key word there, he appealed to him. Paul's request was based on the fact that he knew Philemon's love and faith. He knew that he would make a good decision. He could have applied a lot of pressure on Onesimus. He probably did a little bit by Paul requesting and appealing that he receive him. He could have been putting a little bit of pressure, but he also left it up to Onesimus to make the decision on his own. We are all free moral agents, and we can all decide whether we're going to do what's right or wrong. And Paul knew that the most affectionate decision would be Philemon's decision of choice, what he chose to do. And not from compulsion, not from assuming that he had to do it. He appealed to Philemon's love. He appealed to his heart for mankind, for a fellow Christian. He simply said, "Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you rather than command you. Please receive him." He also describes himself, Paul, as aged. Maybe referencing an old man, maybe referencing as a leader or an ambassador, being a mature adult. Either way, I think he got the point across to Philemon that this is the right thing to do, but it's your choice. And it was just a sincere request. He did introduce this subject of appeal gradually. It was slow. If you look in verse 10 there, "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains." It was kind of a slow. It wasn't just saying, "Hey, I'm going to send him back. You're going to take him." He's like, "I appeal for you on his behalf. Please. He can be profitable to you. He's profitable to me. And so consider this." Ironically, the name Onesimus in the Greek terms means useful, which where it comes from. So he is going to see that he is going to be very profitable. He's going to be very useful for him. He also, there in verses 12 through 14, we see where Paul refuses to compel that Philemon stay with him in Rome. So there in verse 12, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me. Paul wanted to keep him, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. He still wanted Philemon to make the choice, wanted him to have a loving heart and accept Onesimus, but he wanted him to give. Paul didn't want to keep him forcefully, which I'm sure Onesimus wouldn't have went if Paul didn't make him or ask him to. But by accepting Onesimus, Philemon would be accepting Paul in the same instance. And Paul kind of put himself in that situation as saying, if you accept Onesimus, you're going to accept me. And so please do so. Paul wants to show that Onesimus, so how much he loved him, how much he cared for him. He says that there in those verses. He wishes to keep him with him, but on his behalf he might return him to him. And it also, it says on your behalf, kind of insinuates an obligation on Philemon's part to pay back Paul, to help him out in a time of need, to grant him a request for all that he has done for him. He offers to pay Philemon in verses 18 and 19. It says, but if he has wronged you, so if Onesimus has wronged Philemon, if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. Paul says, that's on me. Put that on my account. In verse 19, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Paul wanted to have a little bit more insurance that this was Paul writing, because there was probably a very good chance that Onesimus did owe Philemon something. As a slave in these times was property to the owner, and by running away, the owner was out of that property and may have had to, and I don't want to use the term replace in a negative way, but may have had to find someone else or get someone else to do the work that Onesimus had been doing. And so there was probably some financial setback at this situation. And so Paul kind of understands that there's probably some money owed somewhere, but he doesn't want Philemon to put that on Onesimus. Paul said, I'll take that. That's on me. He comes back to you with a clean slate. And it's such a big thing that Paul puts in there, that I am writing with my own hand. This could have been something Onesimus could have been writing to just try to get out of a debt. And so by Paul putting that in there, he's writing with his own hand. He's verifying, I will repay. I really wish these days that a man's word was just as good as, the word and a handshake as it used to be. You know, it used to be that if you gave your word and you shook on it, that was more binding than a legal contract. And now these days, it's hard to see someone who stands by those values. And it's sad. I try to still live by those values as much as I can, but there's some people just don't trust anybody, and so they always want something in writing. And so, we've all heard the saying, a man is only good as his word. And so I think that's a good value to have. Paul is living by this. He says, I will repay. This is my word. I'm writing this with my own hand. This is me. And I will repay. And he brings up, not to mention, that Philemon might owe him even his own spiritual life with how he may have brought the gospel to him. And so he's just reminding him that his heart is true, and to go with his heart, and it'll help him. It is such a wonderful blessing that Paul is able to do this and take this responsibility for Onesimus, who at the time was a slave. And at that time, didn't have a lot of value to a lot of people as a person, as they did as property. And so Paul shows that this is the Christian way. This is how it should be done. He also believes in the basic goodness of Philemon. He knows that he's going to be good. He's not suspicious on how he's going to react. And again, I think that's things that we do this day and age. We look at someone who's like, oh, I think they're going to do this. And instead of just being honestly open, saying, you know, they're good people, this is what's going to happen. But we kind of jump to conclusions, or we are suspicious of people without giving any reasons for it. It's just a setback that we have. Paul's not this way. I'm there in verse 21 in Philemon. He says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Paul didn't say, well, I'm going to do this, but he's probably not going to abide by it. He's probably not going to listen to me. He's going to reject him. He didn't say that. He writes in this letter to Philemon, and he says, I have confidence that you as a Christian, you will do the right thing. You will do the right thing. And one more note there is, as I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Some commentaries had that as maybe even set Onesimus free from that bondage of slavery. But all we have here is what Paul says is, you'll do even more than I say. Philemon would have went above and beyond. Paul had the confidence that he would go above and beyond, not only accepting Onesimus back and erasing any debt he may have, but go above and beyond and welcome him as a fellow brother. And so from both of these examples, from the hospitality that Philemon had, from the way Paul dealt with Philemon, the tact that he had, the way he approached the situation, we can get a lot from this by studying this letter. Even though it's so short, there's so much in it, I feel, that we can take from it. And by meditating upon it, Philemon's Christian hospitality, the way he opened his home to fellow Christians for the church, the way he opened his home to Paul, and Paul knew that he always had a place he could stay. Just that as an example for us to imitate is wonderful. And then from Paul, his model of, back to my title, Christian courtesy, the way Paul dealt with Philemon, knowing he was an owner who had been wronged, I guess, when Onesimus ran away, but appealing to him to accept Onesimus back and make things right. It's such a wonderful way that Paul dealt with him. And again, he could have said, you're going to do this because this is right. And then you would have never known Philemon's true heart. But Paul knew it. And I would probably say that Philemon did what Paul asked, or this letter probably still wouldn't be around. So I would say it went just about the way it's said here, or he would have probably destroyed it. Philemon was a loving man. He was a Christian man. I'm sure he heeded Paul's suggestions and did just that. So in closing, I want to finish with the last verse here in Philemon. Verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Simply put, Paul ends that letter to Philemon with, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So now, are we living in a way that we receive the grace of the Lord Jesus in our lives? Do we have that life, that we've accepted that? Have you accepted Jesus in your life? Have you accepted this grace that has been given that would save us from our sins? I hope so. And if not, we're about to sing an invitation song that's going to give you an opportunity to make that right. If you're not a Christian and you wish to be one, if you feel that you need to obey through primary obedience and be baptized, we're ready for you. You just need to make that first step, and that would be step out into the aisle and start coming forward. Sometimes that's the hardest step, but it would be the most joyful one for you. if you are a Christian and you've fallen away, if you can make amends while you're at your seat, you need to do so. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we're here for you. We love you. We want your life to be right with God, and we don't want you to leave this building with anything that separates you. This sermon hasn't been necessarily one for a primary obedience sermon, so to speak, I guess. But using Paul and Philemon and showing the Christian love that they have, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to be part of that family. So if there's any way we can help, we invite you to come together while we stand and sing.